everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Unlimited Abundance with your host, myself, Paulina Baragova. It feels very weird to say your full name like that. I don't know if any of you guys have done that by introducing yourself. Like, I think we're not really used to saying our full names. Like, you know, when you meet someone, you're like, hi, my name is, you know, you say your first name. So I was like, hi, I'm Paulina. Imagine if we just always start introducing ourselves like with our full name, like our middle name. For me, I'm Russian. So my middle name is like, it's your dad's name modified. It's kind of hard to explain. So it would literally be like, hi, my name is Paulina Alexeyevna Baragova. Welcome back. Welcome. If you're watching the video, welcome. If you're watching the video, you're probably getting annoyed because I'm playing with my hair, because it's just those days where you don't want to style it, so you put it in a low ponytail. That's the vibe we're having today. I'm so excited for today's episode. It's a topic that I feel like I've been learning, and I feel like I have the capacity today to kind of integrate it and share it into words. So today we're going to be talking about the topic of nourishing what nourishes you, which either this topic feels really complex or it feels like overly cliche. And that's really what I want to talk about today. I am so excited. So yes, let's hop on in. Before we hop on in, just two announcements that I want to share for those of you guys who like to stay updated and stuff. My 3-month money mastermind, Let's Get You Rich, starts this Sunday, January 15th. So doors are closing soon. So if you've heard me talk about it on the podcast, or maybe you follow me on Instagram, this is your final call, your final invitation. I would love to have you inside. Once doors close, you can't enter. And this happens a lot in courses. People will be on the fence, and then as soon as the course starts and they hear all the amazing feedback, they want to get inside. And so definitely, if you've been interested, then feel free to take a look. I'll have the website linked down below if you're watching the video or in the keynotes. It's 3 months long. We have bi-weekly calls every 2 weeks on Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific. All full replays are always included. This is how what I do with all my courses, because I understand that we're not always able to make each call live. And also, we want to be able to keep the content, right? Like, you might want to refer back to a practice we did, or meditation we did, or an exercise we did, whether it's right away or maybe in even a year. I want you to be able to keep the content. So you always get that recording of each session. And then on top of that, we work together every month. So on top of the 2-hour bi-weekly calls that we have, I work with you privately each month. So we have in full hour private session together. So I'm able to really connect with you, love you, support you, and really kind of curate anything that needs to be crafted inside the course by, you know, getting to know you and your needs and to really support you in that way. We also have our group chat for the group of people inside that'll be available, which is really exciting. It's usually always an exciting little frenzy inside there where people are messaging, updating, and it's a really lovely community. And as if that weren't good enough, you get free access to divinity during the time of the mastermind. So it's really, really powerful. For me, I form really close connections with everyone I work with. Genuinely, like, they become really, really close friends. And so if you've always kind of been on the peripherals, or maybe you've just come to a ceremony here and there, or maybe if you've only just consumed my free content and you've enjoyed that, I always tell people, like, if you're just consuming free content from someone, that's amazing. You know, no one's forcing you to do anything, but can you even imagine how powerful it would be if you actually work with that individual one-to-one? This is like what my process is. I remember I was following this woman who's amazing, and I was like, if I have so much value from her content, imagine what it's like if I work with her. And I ended up working with her for 3 months last year, and it was amazing. And so just a reminder that if you've to take your kind of journey to the next level, if you're called to, and really see what happens when the stuff that you resonate with and love gets emerged into your life in a greater capacity, like, you can only imagine the magic that happens. So that is so exciting. So those are closing to that soon. So if you're listening to this, this is your little reminder, your final call. Meditate on it. Feel into it. Of course, as always, you're welcome to DM or email me any questions. I do my best to get back to you. And another announcement is, as many of you know, the first drop of the magic candles sold out. So if you're listening to this and you are like, what is that? I hand pour and add herbs and make beautiful magic candles under each new and full moon. And I charge and activate them with intentions and energy. And they're super, super powerful and strong to use in your manifestation practice. The first batch dropped on the full moon in Cancer and it sold out. So the next drop will be on the new moon in Aquarius. They only drop on new and full moons. And and the batch is all that's available. So once they sell out, each batch is gone for good, meaning you can't get more of that one for many reasons. A, because the main aspect is that they're created on that day to hold that energy, right? So if I made them a different day, it wouldn't hold that energy. So the next drop is going to be at 11 a.m. Pacific on January 21st. So mark your calendar, because I do sell it quickly. Some people buy multiple, which if you want to have multiple, then I don't really like not allow that. I know some people, like big brands, like I don't know, Supreme and stuff, don't allow maybe to get a specific amount, but you're able to get however many you desire. So if you miss the drop, then definitely mark your calendar. But if you already got access to that first candle and you love it and it's so powerful, I shipped them today. My husband had to help me because there's so many boxes. Then just keep that in mind. So that's just another announcement. I'll have the link down below if you want to read more about them, how they work, all that jazz. I made a post or a reel on my Instagram about them as well. You'll see it's like a picture of a candle. I'll probably pin it soon so you can see more about that if you're interested. So those are some announcements. I like to keep everyone posted on what's going on in my world, if you're someone who works closer with me. But yeah, let's hop on into today's episode. So it's like always, I feel like the topics I talk about are so layered that it's really kind of deciding, like, where do we enter the topic, right? Like, I know we had one episode that really performed well and that I think so many people were blown away by, which is so exciting, was the modern feminism is bullshit and the lies women have been sold episode. Saying it out loud, I understand it's a mouthful, but it's the same as like any complex subject. You don't even know really where to begin. And so it's like, kind of, I just kind of have to get started somewhere and essentially build off of that and kind of explain different variations. So to get started, the premise of what I'm speaking about is really kind of in line with the feminine awakening, I feel like, that's been going on for now a few years, but more so this movement of so many, I mean, people call it the soft girl movement now, but essentially it's this like desire for a slower paced life, you could say, right? More ease, more connection with emotion, with your femininity, not living in like the rigid edges of the planet or the earth. And I saw this really beautiful quote. I wish I knew who wrote it. I know the girl who reposted it, but it was essentially like the biggest thing that I desire for people who have like lived really close or in the grit of like life's edge is softness. And it's like, I don't know, just find that really beautiful. I'm not saying the correct wording, but essentially people who have lived to that extreme of maybe hustle culture or productivity or force, and you live at that edge and you realize how unfulfilling it is, it really kind of swings you back in the other direction and really shows you what matters the most in your life, right? Where, and a simple example of this is, right, people, I hear this with my clients a lot. I had a one-to-one session yesterday and my client was saying like, oh, I left this job even though this pay was good because I realized like my mental health was more important. And I think that this is like a big switch we're making. I'm not always saying it looks like that, because I do believe that you can make a switch and, you know, benefit as well. Sometimes it may take time to build your own thing, whatever you're doing, but essentially we're realizing what really matters. And I made a post about this and it was so crazy. I was like writing it and I was like in tears in my eyes. So clearly it was like really powerful for me to write, but it's essentially, I mean, you can read it yourself, but I was basically saying like, I don't want X, Y, and Z if I'm like stressed and anxious and can't sleep. I don't want blank if, like, you know, I want to get to my goals, but I want to get there with joy and ease. And I saw someone else post about this. I think it was Marissa Remy. So, you know, it's so many of people are awakening to this notion of wanting to live a slower paced life and really savor the moments, and realizing that this perception of getting somewhere faster is really an illusion. Because once you get to any of your goals, I promise you, you will set another goal. It is just the wildest thing. It's just how our human mind works. It's beautiful in some ways because it shows how we really want to expand and we really want to grow and evolve, but at some level it shows us that there really never is this end, right? There never is just this, okay, I got it kind of thing, because there's a new goal in whatever area of life. I mean, I can give you like so many examples, right? So like even in, so when someone starts dating, right, or going on dates, then they probably really desire, not everyone, right? I'm just giving an example. I know nowadays, like if you don't give an example of like every crazy diverse example, people are like, how dare you not give the example of if this person is, you know, it's like, just take it at like face value, you know? But like, for example, someone starts dating, right? And they really like each other. The next thing that they're going to want is commitment, right? Like, let's say boyfriend and girlfriend. Then in the future, the next thing they probably might want is to be like engaged, or maybe the girl wants that more. And then they want to have their dream wedding. But then after you have your dream wedding, then you want to improve your marriage, and then you want your marriage to feel amazing. And I was reading in this book called Mating in Captivity, and it was really speaking about how relationship dynamics have really changed over the years, and how in the past a marriage is like more of like a social arrangement, but now we expect our partners to be everything for us, like our best friends, our soulmates, our lovers, our like every, you know, we expect everything from our partners, which is really in a way cool how society has evolved, but it's also really changed the expectations of each other, right? And what someone can be for you. But just as an example, so then we strive to have our marriage fulfill all of these aspects of our lives. So that's just like one example, right? Or in business, you reach a goal, then you want the biggest, but then you meet people who have created even more, like that it's endless in that space, right? Then you're like, you want this kind of month or this year, and then next year you want more and you want more. Like, it's a human mind. Like, you're never going to feel like, wow, I have really just gotten here and I feel good, unless you choose to have that outlook, right? And so many of us now are realizing this very thing, is that we want to enjoy our life. And yes, when we reach goals or intentions or milestones, to celebrate that, right? And it's not to say that we're just going to sit on our ass and eat hot Cheetos all day, but it's saying that to really savor the process, to not always be running towards the next thing. And you know that difference in your body of when you're really present in a moment versus when you're just running to the next thing. And for me, I really realized that so much of my life, I was running to this next thing because I'm such like a doer. I feel like I'm a high energy person. I'm a Gemini. I'm definitely like an achiever. Like, I've always just been doing so much, right? When I was younger, I was filming videos and doing school, and then I moved to LA and I was like traveling and going to like red carpet events and then going to school and then doing homework and hanging out with friends. Like, I was such a doer, and I still think that in me still lives that energy. So it's been very interesting for me to kind of like heal aspects of that. On one end, I want to say that I think that life gives us the experiences that we need to succeed. And what I mean by that is, I feel like if I didn't have that programming, I probably wouldn't have achieved the success that I have to this degree. So I can't just be like, oh my God, I'm just like so overproductive. Like, it's really bad, because it has done me so much good in my life. But also now I'm realizing, how can I incorporate, yes, productivity, but presence at the same time? And what's the balance in that, right? And essentially, a big lesson I've learned, and what I've really just seen from observing, now that I've, you know, worked with so many clients and taught so many courses, I've had so much data, and this is only the beginning. I can't imagine in like 10 years, like, I'll be sharing even more insights, you know, watch out, Rumi. But essentially, I just have seen so many patterns now, and enough times where I'm really starting to see this recent pattern of women realizing that the things that they were putting their energy into weren't nourishing them. So what I mean by that is, oftentimes we see this with work, I think the most, or with business, is women begin to think like, okay, I really want to focus on my business and grow it, or my job or career, because there's this belief that this is going to lead me to fulfillment, right? Whether it's status or money or a combination of those, or whatever it is, achieving goals, like, we think that this is what's going to fully nourish us, right? Like, if I can show myself I can achieve blank, then like this is going to be, and like this is going to be it for me. And this is kind of interesting, such a masculine paradigm, because I feel like men have gone through this process for years before, and because only recently women have gotten to enter, somewhat recently, when we think of history, the workforce, and really build and grow and evolve, we're seeing women go through like traditionally masculine initiation. So you can see this often, right? Men like reach goal after goal after goal, success after success after success, and maybe never prioritize intimate relationships or committed connections or anything that maybe requires like intimacy, vulnerability, connection, etc. And then they realize that like, no matter how much they achieve, they don't feel fulfilled until they find that in some situation, right? And you see this in like movies, they find the love of their life, and then they're like, oh, it all makes sense. But this kind of I guess, like, masculine narrative or masculine hero story, I feel like women are going through as well now, where they're realizing, like, we were sold this dream that, like, oh, if I'm a girl boss, if I do this, if I have a six-figure business or six-figure month business, 1 million figure a second business, then, like, I'm going to feel so fulfilled, right? It's going to lead me to this fulfillment. And so many people are realizing at different levels that something that emotionally drains you, that makes you feel burnt out and overwhelmed and anxious, is not going to give you those situations, those feelings, right? And it's like really makes people think, I feel like until you get there, also you don't have this realization. So I think that only once, because you hear people say like, oh, once I got everything I wanted, I realized, like, I mean, what I actually wanted was peace. But it does take you, I feel like, getting some of the things that you've wanted after you've worked towards them to have this realization, because before you have that realization, you still have the belief that, no, if I have this, I'm going to be happy. So you can't tell yourself, oh, I'm not going to be happy if I don't have this when I have this, until you experience that, right? So if, like, someone's like, oh yeah, I made $10 million and I realized, like, actually I just want to swim with turtles, you're gonna be like, cool, well, I'm still gonna try to grow my business. Do you know what I mean? Maybe, but until that individual has that same experience, essentially, is what I'm saying. But so I think women are realizing more and more, like, we've been really pulled away from relationship, I feel like, and told, I mean, you see this with, like, the crazy feminist.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Movement is like this kind of like the man hating, which I like talk about, which I don't know, I have like really crazy things to say about this. I don't even know, like someone commented on one of my podcast videos and was like, this is giving me like pageant queen answers questions vibes, because like you don't want to say anything offensive. But I find that a lot of the women who become those like extreme feminists do so out of like rejection, and I think that that's like very hard to admit, because it's easier to blame someone else for our triggers than to work through them or to self-improve. So let's say, I don't know, like, let's say you're not the most attractive cookie in the bunch, okay? And I'm not saying this in any mean way. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying this in any kind of degrading way. I think that everyone is divine. Everyone is equal. Like, I mean, is everyone equal? Like, people who kill other people, I don't know, I wouldn't call them equals in my opinion. But essentially, I'm not saying this in any kind of mean way. I'm just trying to give an example, right? So that individual might have faced more rejection than their more attractive counterpart from men. And so it's easier for that person to be like, oh, men are so bad, like, et cetera, et cetera. I don't expect men to do this for me. Like, I can do this on my own. I can pay for this on my own. I can do all this stuff because of their experience. But the ironic thing is, through self-improvement, whether that's, you know, I don't know, reading inspiring books, maybe like eating well, fitness, whatever it is, right? Any kind of self-improvement, there are obvious ways to make yourself more attractive in general. And I this is a harsh truth. People don't want to admit, people have this crazy narrative in their minds that people should just feel attracted to them, even if like they don't put in the effort. It's just the craziest thing. It's the same thing as men who are like, no offense, like kind of like losers, feeling like women just owe them their time, their energy, and whatever it is. It's the same way. Like, men don't owe women necessarily anything either. And I think that we have to understand that it is like this negotiation. And when you fail to recognize that, you're kind of just playing yourself. So what I mean by that is, it's like if you're a woman and you find that, like, I don't know, you're getting rejected a lot by the people that you're attracted to, maybe begin asking yourself, like, And I'm not trying to come from like a hateful angle because I value like self-love and self-energy and healing so much. But I also think there's like this realism in the world that we have to acknowledge. So there's like this balance. There's like self-love, energy, like alignment, confidence, but there's also some real factors. For example, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. If there was a 5'1" guy who was not cute, but had the best energy, loved himself, that's great, but I'm not going to fuck him. Do you know what I mean? Like, so like we have to have a little bit of like brutal honesty. And I love my short kings out there, you know, amazing, we love it, but we as people, as individuals, have free will. And this is where people like I don't understand why people get offended if someone's not attracted to me. For example, let's say it's I'm not offended. Like, maybe for a second I'm like, damn, especially if maybe Channing Tatum told me I was ugly, I mean, it would hurt a little. It's like, bro, I've seen a lot of your movies, was a fan. But then eventually I would be like, that person has their free will. They have their type. And I don't think I'm his type anyway. Looking at the people he's dated, like Jenna Dewan, his ex-wife, or Jessie J, I don't think I'm his cup of tea. But just as an example, right? Who else do I, my people think I'm so funny. I like the weirdest taste in men. I really rarely find men attractive. But like, I think the Croatian guy from Shark Tank is so cute and people make fun of me. I don't know what it is. Maybe he just gives me like this like warm, secure energy, but like I don't know. I did look at his wife and she looks like an old, like she kind of has a similar trait. So maybe he'd be attracted, but let's say he even told me like, I'm not attracted to you. For example, if any of you guys watch that Button show on Cut, it is so brutal because it's so ironic, because when a girl rejects a guy who's clearly like unattractive or a flop, no one bats an eye. It's no one bats an eye. But the second that a guy you can see isn't attracted to a girl, like, no, oh my gosh, there was a girl who went on there who was like one of those cosplayers. Please tell me if you've seen this episode. She had like pink hair and stuff. I'm sure she's a lovely girl, but let's not lie. She's not Gigi Hadid, you know? And a lot of men rejected her because they just weren't attracted to her. Does that make them bad? Does it make them like wish any harm on her or wish anything bad? No, they just don't want to invest themselves into her, right? And so I think when we acknowledge that we as beings have free will, you just have so much more peace. I don't know. And I understand this is way easier said than done, but at some level, once you really accept this, it just like gives you your power back, right? And so essentially what I was saying is kind of going back from this tangent is that women, a lot of those like extreme feminists have these like man-hating views because that they've been rejected. And instead of maybe asking themselves like, maybe it's because of, I don't know, a variety of things, it's much easier to say like, I don't want that, or like men are bad, or I hate men, or men are trash, or like, I don't need a man to do this for me, I don't want a man to pay for me, I don't want blah 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 blah. But it's like, have you had that someone offer that to you, or do you feel like you've been rejected and so that's why? I know this is a harsh reality, but sometimes truths are uncomfortable, but once we understand it, it's like so much more evident. Do you know what I mean? So for example, like, I'm self-aware that, okay, if I like go out in my day and I don't put any effort into my appearance, like let's say I don't really wear any makeup, my hair is not done, you know, I just look kind of not put together, it's fine. I have the free will to do that. But I notice that people engage with me in a very different way, right? I like notice I'm not getting the same kind of like attention. Men don't give me the same kind of vibe. Not that I'm ever seeking that, but I'm just saying I notice the difference versus if I do my makeup, I look more put together. And it's a huge shift, right? Because when someone takes care of themselves and puts effort into themselves, into their appearance, that's attractive. Just like if a man is dressed sharp, has his outfit on, you know, you're going to be more attracted to that than if you can see someone who looks like they haven't left their basement in 10 days, right? So essentially, that's just like a side thing that I want to acknowledge, that I think that it's like us bettering ourselves. It's not to necessarily get attention. It's just understanding that if I want what I desire, then would I date myself? I saw a girl made a video. She was like, you know, asking yourself, like, would I want to date me? And being honest with ourselves. And that's a really beautiful way to self-improve, because how can we be confident, you know, and secure and show up in the world if we wouldn't, or like, would I hire myself? You know, asking in whatever facet of your life, asking yourself those questions and being honest can give us so many amazing answers. So my segue from that is now onto, like I was saying, that kind of that illusion that women have been sold, right? So what happens to a lot of women who I work with is, so they prioritize their job or their career or their business above anything else, right? There's a difference between prioritizing it and putting energy and like making it top priority above anything else, above like your relationship, for example, right? And what happens is usually these women end up feeling burned out. And I've been there too. I can honestly tell you there's been times where I've really, really prioritized my business, my work way above like my marriage. Not like in a, it sounds like such a crazy, like such a negative statement, but in terms of like, if we could have an evening together, or like I was like needed to get stuff done, I would like sit in my work in my office, small things, right? And because like, you think like, oh, I need to do this, this is super, super important. But what you realize is that you, by you putting energy into something that doesn't like that nourishes you back, but not fully in the way that you need, like, yes, your business when it succeeds feels amazing and it feels nourishing, but it's a very different nourishment than the feeling of like love and intimacy and connection and, you know, someone like holding you and telling you how amazing you are. I don't know, like things like that, right? And so what happens is women prioritize work so intensely that all of their energy or such a huge amount of energy is going there that they don't nourish their relationship. And so what happens is then over time, their work burns them out, right? To a certain degree, and it's different for everyone. So I cannot speak, right, like to every example, but then also their relationship, so I don't use the word suffers, but essentially didn't receive the nourishment that it could have gotten. So maybe it's not as vibrant as it could be. And so what we actually notice, what I notice in myself in working with women who I work with, is when you begin to actually prioritize your relationship, and if you're single, you can think of it as just prioritizing like your self-love, your magnetism, doing activities that feel good, maybe socialization. So whatever like that other area of your life is, right? So it's like, if you're single, then maybe for you, it'd be like prioritizing time with friends, prioritizing being out, socializing, like getting dressed up and feeling good about yourself, or whatever it may be, just doing things that make you feel good about yourself, essentially, right? Maybe like rollerblading by the beach makes you feel amazing about yourself and like the sexiest baddie alive. I can't believe I use that word in context. But essentially, like, you know what I mean? If you're prioritizing you and your nourishment, then ironically, not ironically, but it's interesting that then actually your work improves because you're showing up from a different energy. You're showing up way more nourished. You're showing up like way more full. So for me, when I started prioritizing like connection, intimacy above my work, which felt very scary because I was like, it's so unlike my Mars and Virgo Capricorn moon, I actually ended up feeling way more nourished and my work thrived. I showed up like way more energized to everything, to my client calls, to things I'm sharing, things I'm posting. I was more radiant. People would like comment and tell me that in person, like your energy is more radiant and all of this stuff. And then not only now was my work better with less effort because I wasn't pushing in it, I was actually showing up more full, but then my relationship or my marriage, for example, is also nourished as well, right? This is what the kind of the topic of this podcast is nourish what nourishes you. So really understand like, where am I putting my energy? Because I'm putting my energy into something that is just draining me, then it's like I'm not getting an even exchange. And at the end, I'm going to feel depleted because I'm not getting an energetic exchange. It's like having a friendship where it's one-sided, where you're doing all the effort, you're doing all the planning, you're reaching out, and then you're not receiving much back, right? It's draining. And the same thing in our lives. And I feel like it's such an ironic shift because we are taught like, oh, I need to prioritize. I thought my phone was ringing. We need to prioritize work or blank and blank. Otherwise, like our lives will fall apart. But it's so interesting because when we actually prioritize self-nourishment, self-love, feeling good and juicy, whatever that way it looks like to you, right? Then it radiates into all areas of your life and everything else improves. So it's like this weird, almost like reverse psychology in a way. Because we think, okay, if I put my work first, what you can think about this, whatever it is, your career, your business, or just your job, then I'm going to feel, then I can feel like accomplished. So then I'll have the energy to put into my other areas of my life, your interests, hobbies, your relationship, friends, whatever. But actually, if you prioritize feeling energized and nourished and put your energy into those areas of your life, then you have that, you nourish that, those parts of yourselves and those activity, people, places, situations, obviously choose wisely, nourish you back. And then you show up in the main arena, let's say for you, it's like your work or whatever it is, where you wanted to originally show up fully, even more full. And this goes for friendships and relationships too. Just kind of want to like extend it out like a little tree branch of really asking yourself what friendships and situations actually nourish you. This is a really big thought I've been thinking about, which is a very kind of simple idea, right? Like hang out with people who are good for you. You know, you are the five people you surround yourself with. The five people I surround myself with are my cat, my dog, and my husband, my best friend, and I guess my friends at pool. So it's pretty accurate. And I guess my parents, but we hang at them a bit too. So pretty accurate vibe, honestly. No, but I, you know, it doesn't sound like this brand new revolutionary thing, but just really thinking about it that way, I started thinking like who, when I hang out with, do I feel nourished by? Like I come back and I literally, this word is like one of my main words for 2023 is nourishment. Like that word, I would eat it all up. I love it. So I asked myself, like, who when I spend time with do I feel nourished? Like, who gives to me too, right? And then who do I feel like depleted after? And it's very such a mind over matter thing because our mind will tell us, like, but you've been friends with this person for blank years. But, and it's like, no. Let's ask our body, who do we feel nourished by? And then who do we feel drained by? It really can be that simple. Obviously, I understand that there are nuances, maybe, you know, for different reasons. Maybe you're on the PTA with Susan and you have to have meetings with her and she does not nourish you. Like, obviously, I understand that there are exclusive cases, but I said in general, just really reevaluating that and only really prioritizing that. And I started really thinking about the friends in my life who I feel so nourished by, one of mine being my best friend. Like when we hang out, I come back feeling like inspired, like invigorated, like we have such interesting conversations and share like new things with each other, and I'm always left feeling like ready to take action or excited about something or learn something new or researching something or wanting something, you know. It always leaves in that way. Or my other friend, same thing, like people who, and the biggest way I feel like we can identify this is people who also are prioritizing themselves and their growth are going to be the people who are usually going to show up like this, right? The people who are not prioritizing themselves, their soul integrity, like just etc., then they're going to be showing up in that energy. So if someone's not, I mean, it's as cliche, right, as like someone's not loving themselves and putting energy into themselves, then what makes us think that they're going to have that capacity for us, right? Someone who is prioritizing themselves, is nourishing themselves, is reflective, is doing the inner work, is going to be able to show up, you know, show up for us in those same ways. And I think this will be like continue to be a big theme for a lot of people in variants as well. So what I mean by that, it doesn't necessarily have to be just categorical. So it could be like, it doesn't have to be necessarily like, oh, what's nourishing me, my relationship or my business, but instead it can even look like, how are the ways that I'm showing up in my relationship, for example? Are they nourishing to me in my relationship or not? Or how are the ways that I'm showing up in my business or my career or my work? Are those nourishing or not? Right? So we begin to, like, it goes even intracellular, kind of, it goes into the fields as well. So instead of thinking like, oh, is podcasting nourishing for me or is something else more nourishing for me? It can be like, how is the way I'm showing up to podcasts? Is it nourishing, right? Do you get what I mean? So like, am I doing it when I feel excited to talk about something? Am I forcing myself to talk about something? What kind of energy am I showing up in? So those are kind of all of those nuances. And so essentially, that's something I want you to really think about this week as you just move through your week. All it takes is a simple awareness, is asking yourself, what are like, let's look at big picture first, right? What is nourishing you in your life and what is not nourishing you in your life is a really beautiful place to start. And it also gives us so much of our free will back. I feel like so many things that we feel like we have to do, when we think about it, we don't. Like, obviously there are still responsibilities, like, yes, 100%. Oh, it's 3:33 when I'm recording this. But just like, I don't know, just small things. Like, I always want to tell personal stories, but I just realized so many of the things that I've told myself I have to do, I'm like, why did I sign up? It's like, you know what a good example of this is? It's like when you book your calendar and people like ask you to hang out or do things and you just say yes and you book your calendar like so full, and then you're like, I did this to myself. Like, what? Like, I literally said yes to all these things. Like, I did this to myself. Do you know what I mean? And so just being more mindful, at least, that's a starting place of what's nourishing us and what's not nourishing us. And then extending those tree branches into other areas of our lives, like within friendships. So like it could be like, it could start with what's nourishing me in my life, this or this, and then it can be like, okay, which friendships? And then it could even go deeper, like how am I showing up in these friendships? Is this nourishing? How are we like exchanging energy? Where are we, like what are our normal hangouts like? Like are we always choosing to do the same things? Is this nourishing to me? Is just going out for wine nourishing for me? Or am I wanting to have a picnic, the beautiful picnic basket on the beach, or at a park, or a nature preserve, or in your backyard, or almost, I don't know, somewhere in nature, you know, like, or is that more nourishing to me? I think that we really have to be conscious about creating nourishment in our lives. I think some of us just expect it to happen in a way, like we're just feeling like, oh, I'm feeling drained, or whatever it is. But I think it's like, just like we created the scenarios oftentimes that drain us in certain ways or aspects, we can also shift to making things more nourishing for us. So for example, this morning I could have worked out because I had time to only either work out, or I could have taken a bubble bath, and my body felt really achy from pole last night. I went to pole for 3 hours. And I'm also teaching my online pole class tonight. It's usually every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific. I'll put a keynote down below if you're interested. But I was like, I know I'm teaching that tonight, so I want to feel good. So like, do I push my body extra hard, or do I let myself soak in a yummy bath that I'm feeling more, you know, nourished so that I can show up more fully in my day? And so I chose that. And I understand that that's like a one kind of example. But it could be anything, right? It could be like someone invites you to do something at a specific time, and you're like, at first you have to say okay, then you think, does that time actually nourish me? So like I was making plans for something for next week, and there were two time options, and at first it's like you could easily just say like yes to whatever time option you were given, but I was like, what time would actually feel really nourishing for me to do this thing, right? It's just like a conscious cue in throughout the day is what I want to kind of invite you into. Yeah, and into that kind of like a little bit of radical honesty with ourselves when we want to self-improve, it's a really easy way. We can just ask ourselves, right? Like, would I want to be with me? Would I want to hire me? Would I want to work with me? Would I want to be my friend? You know, those are very easy ways where we can uncover some truths. And of course, it's kind of hard to be unbiased sometimes because we're like, yeah. But, you know, sometimes it takes some deep honesty or even asking people who we really, really trust. Like, I don't know, like I'll ask my husband, who's very honest, when I'm like, would you want to be my friend? Would you want to do this with me? Would you want to blank with me? And so you get to like, you know, uncover those things. And sometimes the answers to the growth that we seek are literally like right under the surface of our own behavior, which is so funny because sometimes we think like, I don't know what's next for me. I don't know who I'm becoming. And so many of the spaces of where we can grow are really, really right there. So before I wrap up, I just want to say I never mean anything in an offensive way. I just sometimes think that we need to view things in a more like head on. I don't say head on, but in a little bit more of like an honest way of honoring the things that happen in our society. Like, sure, we can I don't know. I just think that I think as a society, people want to like ignore certain truths, sugarcoat certain things, and then shame people who don't adhere to that narrative. But there are just basic truths in our society that it's just almost like silly to ignore. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I don't want to like get into like specifics, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Like just about the dating thing, right? It's like, if we're feeling like what we're doing isn't working, or we're not getting what we desire, maybe instead of blaming, like seeing what it could be. And it's not always, for example, something with us, but just I think there's just certain truths that we want to ignore. And like, I think that it's kind of ironic that funny that I use this example, but that cut show really demonstrates that. Like I was saying, how when women reject someone, it's like no one gets offended, but when like a man rejects someone who's not cute, for example, or in his eyes cute, or traditionally, like on average, people wouldn't say it's cute, I don't know, in a survey, in a research lab, but you know what I mean? People get so offended. It's like we as a society need to understand certain truths about what people are attracted to. And there's one girl who I watch on YouTube, her name's like Patience, I think. I forgot what her last name is, but she makes like docu-series or like kind of mini document, like reaction style videos that are really good. And she said, she was like, people don't want to admit as a society that we are shallow. If someone hot walks by, you know, someone hot and successful walks by, like, people are attracted to that. And it's just silly to think that if there is two people in front of you, one being hot and successful and one being not cute and not successful, that you would want to have, like, date them or engage with them in any sexual way equally. Like, we have to admit certain things to our, as a society, if we want to, I don't know, get what we want in a way. It's like I feel like that's why, this is such a side note, that's why I feel like that Andrew Tate movement, although he's a piece of shit, honestly, like, F him. I actually, like, really, like, just the shit he says is so gross. Obviously, he just says it for, like, clickability to be super polarizing. I heard he got arrested and stuff, so. But anyway, like, why I think his content really took off because he kind of, like, again, I'm not on his side at all. I think he's literally a piece of shit, and, like, I think it's just disgusting. I think he literally was running, like, literally abusing women and doing awful things, and things he said are just, like, literally demonic. And I think he's a sociopath, narcissist, psychopath, so, like, I do not want to, like, give him anything. But I'm just behind why I think his, like, movement of this, like, men alpha and all that bullshit. Oh my gosh, there's this podcast called, like, Fit to Fresh or whatever. Those guys, like, also are, like, pieces of shit, in my opinion. But, like, me, I'm not man-hating, but, like, no. Like, you know what I mean? When a man is, like, awful, I'm not afraid to admit it. Like, when they're gross and narcissistic and just, like, are the way that they speak at women is disgusting, and you can clearly tell that, like, no one wants to actually be with them. They just want to pretend that they're so alpha. Like, I'm not afraid to say, like, ew. But why I think these, like, men are gaining this traction is because they're at least kind of giving men space to think, or maybe even, like, get what they want by telling them, like, okay, for example, if you're not, for they tell men basically, right, like, indirectly and indirectly, like, if you're not attractive and you're not successful, here, like, take my course where you'll learn how to, like, work out, boost your testosterone, get strong. Here's my business about how to, like, drop ship or trade crypto, you know, like, they're at least admitting that truth, I think. And I think that's why those things are so successful. They're admitting, like, okay, like, I'm not getting women because I'm not cute and not successful, so if I take this course, then I can be cute and successful. I'm obviously paraphrasing dramatically here, but you get what I'm saying. At least those courses, or that they're kind of, like, wording or verbiage, they're at least kind of finding this clear truth. And I think that that's why it resonates with people, and why so many men are, like, drawn to it, right? So, yeah, I don't know. My husband and I talk about that a lot, about, like, that there's such this huge market for men, especially young, impressionable men who, like, want to, I don't know, become successful. So they look, unfortunately, to people who are a little bit, not a little bit, but just honestly slightly deranged, because I feel like because they offer, like, 1 ounce of truth, they believe everything else they say, because they tell them, like, oh, if you're successful and attractive, you know, you'll get more women to like you. Okay, fact, most likely. But then the way that they go about it and what they sell and their approach and marketing is, and just them usually as people, are a little bit sketchy, to say the least. But I think that why it sells, okay, my point is that because they point to a truth, right? So anyway, on that note, I just wanted to kind of touch on that because I've had those thoughts about that man for not for a long time, but since I heard about him, it was just, like, very clear what this guy was doing. Also, when you, like, read about him, I watched, like, a little Jake Tran video on him. Jake Tran's pretty popular on YouTube, but it was explaining how he's, like, been trying to get famous for, like, 10 plus years. So, like, clearly he just wanted attention, and he just tried one thing after another, and finally some of his bullshit worked, you know? Anyway, so that's how I just want to end that podcast, with just that thought of nourish what nourishes you, you know, just really prioritize that, because when you put your energy into things that nourish you, it's going to come back to you, and it's going to actually fuel the other very things that you desire that might have been leaving you burnt out. Like, by prioritizing things that nourish you, you might think that you're losing time in another area of your life, but because you're going to show up so much more radiant and magnetic in that other area of your life, it's actually like you're gaining time, you know, or maybe even balancing, but I think even gaining time in those areas as well. So thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Unlimited Abundance. I would love to continue this conversation. That's, for me, I'm such a communicator, so I like having conversations. So if you enjoyed this episode, or you have anything you want to share, just, like, literally any thoughts you had, be sure to DM me or comment down below. If you're watching this on YouTube, I genuinely want to hear your thoughts about everything I share, because they're just that, thoughts, right? I don't think that what I'm speaking is the ultimate truth, the one opinion. Like, I don't view, you know, what I'm saying is that I just like to view what I experience and interpret and share it in the hopes that maybe that's also other people are experiencing, interpreting, and maybe haven't heard someone else express, or just to start conversations. You know, maybe someone shares something that makes me completely change my point of view. It's just sharing at this moment in time what I've observed and integrated, and in the hopes that that can kind of grow community and start conversations, right, that might create really amazing change in our lives. So with that being said, I love you so much, and I will see you guys next week on Unlimited Abundance. Like I was saying, if you're wanting to get inside Let's Get You Rich, my 3-month money mastermind, definitely do so before doors close, and mark your calendar for the next magic candle drop. I love you so much, and I'll see you next week on Unlimited Abundance.